Let's get into the economic collapse, political and geopolitical news. Now, the deep state, the mainstream media, they're pushing their agenda as hard as they possibly can. And I do believe we're going to be seeing other events come on board. As we can see already, video has been released of George Floyd, and I believe they're going to be using this for the next wave of rioting. This is why Fauci was out there saying, maybe we should look into goggles. It wasn't to protect us from the virus. It was a signal out to Antifa and the rest that it's time for the second wave. We'll be discussing that a little bit later. But Trump, as we know, he has the Trump card. And I believe it's multiple Trump cards, not just one. Because we know that the deep state, what they're planning here, is to create chaos in the elections. I do believe that they know they're not going to be able to win. And the only way out of this is to create chaos. And if they create enough chaos where it delays the election and you never get the election results, they can remove Trump from office. Now, I see some reports out there saying that, well, if there is no president, the president will be Nancy Pelosi by January 20th, or Congress can put an acting president in its place. Now, who would they pick? Probably Nancy Pelosi. But we can see already they're starting down the path where they don't want presidential debates, because we know that if Biden went up against Trump, he would not be able to survive. And coming out of the New York Times, right on schedule, the headline is, let's scrap the presidential debates. Why do we need them? It makes no sense. There's no reason to have them, especially with COVID. We shouldn't even have it. This is exactly what they're trying to do. They're using everything in their arsenal to keep Trump from being president for another 4 years. And they're going to continue to do this. This is just the beginning. As we get closer and closer to the election, they're going to use a lot more ammunition. Now, very interestingly, with Christopher Steele, for years, the media, they were out there screaming and yelling, saying the dossier is real. Christopher Steele is the mastermind British ex-spy. He has a vast network of credible and well-connected sources. They're all spread out through Europe. And he was able to get this information. But we come to learn that all that was fake. Everything the mainstream media was pushing out there turned out to be fake, phony, and false. Steele did not personally collect any of the factual information in his reports. The vast network was instead a social circle of an American-based former Brookings Institute junior staffer, recently identified for the first time as Igor Danchenko. The friends didn't have well-documented claims so much as rumors, drunken gossip, and outright brainstorming, conjecture, and speculation. Even that information was multiple layers of hearsay upon hearsay before it got to Steele. So the whole thing was completely fake, phony, and false. And the media, they have a problem because they've been pushing it like this was gospel, that he was this incredible master spy and he got all this information. And now all the declassification and everything that has come out shows the opposite of what was going on. I mean, look at one of these headlines from the mainstream media. Christopher Steele is a hero and America owes him their thanks. Well, this didn't age very well, because we all know that Christopher Steele made all of this up from a think tank, from people that had no evidence whatsoever. Now, what's very interesting is that with Flynn, we know that they're going to rehear this in the appeals court. And I believe this is the last round, because they've just been trying to delay this because they know there's no prosecutor. Sullivan, he's screwed right now because he went along with this. And what people are asking is Flynn the only person they unmasked? Or are there others that the Obama administration spied on? Senator Rand Paul tweeted this out. I have formally requested from the White House and the Intel Committee's info on whether I was surveilled by Obama, admin, and or the Intel community. Now, this was back in May 5th of 2017. So who else did Obama his administration spy on? Well, we know it was Ted Cruz if we go back to post 3595. In this post, it says the following. I'm going to read this one line. Non-Five Eye official, Chan, U.S. senior persons required given sensitive nature of target, R.E. presidential nominees, POTUS plus Cruz and class 1 to 4. So which means there's other people. Now, what's very interesting is that the Project for Privacy and Surveillance Accountability, this is a nonprofit where former House Judiciary Committee Chairman Bob Goodlatte works as a senior advisor. The group filed a Freedom of Information Act request demanding that the Office of Director of National Intelligence release information related to whether U.S. intelligence has been surveilling past and current U.S. senators and House members. Specifically, the group asked the ODNI, who's the ODNI right now, Ratcliffe, whether the spy agencies it supervises unmask the identities of current and past lawmakers known to have been caught up in the foreign surveillance. The truth is going to be coming out. And we can see already Q has told us that one of them is Cruz and there are others that they have been spying on. Everything the deep state has tried to do, all their plans with the Russian collusion, the Steele dossier, all their spying, remember, they were trying to cover all this up. This is why you had individuals change emails to get the FISA. This is why they were going after the fact and getting the FISAs. All this is everything that we're seeing is a cover up. And you can't cover up what you did because people follow the paper trail. People see what you did. And that is what is going to get all of them. It's already begun. Now, what's very interesting is that we know that Prince Andrew, because of the depositions that have been released from Ghislaine Maxwell, from Virginia Guffrey, that Andrew, Prince Andrew, he was involved with Epstein. But the interesting part of all this is that Prince Andrew's security detail should have records of where he was, when he returned, what he was doing. So there should be records of what the prince was doing on that evening, which would either exonerate him or prove that he was lying. And members of the royal family are regularly accompanied by police guards in their day-to-day activities, and their records of where and when the officers were sent, or at very least, a record of which officers worked on which day. So they went back to look at the records, and guess what? The records are destroyed. How convenient. Which means there was a cover-up. They didn't want anyone to see where he was because it would implicate him. And again, you can see what they're trying to do. Well, we have no record, so you can't prove it either way. Which means there's only one reason why those records are destroyed. I mean, how often are records destroyed like this? Especially on these certain nights. Think about that for a second. Now, what's very interesting is we know the deep state, the mainstream media, they're pushing their agenda, the corrupt politicians, to manipulate the elections, to cause chaos. Now, in New Jersey, they are poised to allow illegal immigrants to obtain professional and occupational licenses, and this comes less than a year after Murphy signed into law legislation allowing illegal immigrants to get driver's licenses. Now think about it. They're giving, during the pandemic, you know, we're in a pandemic right now, professional and occupational licenses. But people can't open up their businesses. And we'll be talking about that in just a moment. Now, this new legislation allows illegal aliens to obtain professional licenses for the first time, regardless of their status. Which means they can get a job as a pharmacist, an accountant, cosmetologist, etc. Think about what they're trying to do here. Now, Trump, he knows that the deep state, the mainstream media, they're creating chaos with this next election because they know they can't win. Even if they try to manipulate the mail-in votes, they know it's not going to work. So the only thing that they can do right now is to make it so chaotic that it delays the election. With that delay, it allows them to put in someone else. Now, who is that going to be? It could be Nancy Pelosi or it could be someone else. But this is what they're trying to do. Now, Trump, he's going to challenge different states, like the state of Nevada, for moving to enact mail-in voting. And this is what he tweeted out. In an illegal late-night coup, Nevada's clubhouse governor made it impossible for Republicans to win the state. Post office could never handle the traffic of mail-in votes without preparation. Using COVID to steal the state. See you in court. So the state Democrats held an emergency legislative session, passing a bill that would mail every registered voter a mail-in ballot and even allow other individuals to fill out and deliver the ballots for elderly and disabled. Think about that for a second. How is that going to benefit them? This is a complete and utter disaster. And everyone can see it right now, how they're trying to cheat. Now, what's very interesting is that John Podesta, he's playing out like an election war game with Biden and Trump. This is what Ben Smith tweeted out. New, John Podesta played out Biden in an election war game and refused to concede in a scenario that looked a bit like 2016. Stephen Miller responded to this. Podesta presupposing voter suppression in an election that hasn't happened yet and arguing it in a make-believe scenario gives the entire game away. It's their fallback no matter what. They're already preparing for this. You could see exactly what is happening. Like we said before, in New Jersey, they are closing down people's businesses like Atlas Gym. They've closed them down many times. They boarded up their gym saying, we're in a pandemic. You can't have this open. But the owners of Atlas Gym, they kicked down the plywood boards covering their businesses. And they said, we are opening up once again. And we're going to keep doing this because you have no right to stop us from opening. Listen, people in DC can go to a funeral. They don't have to be quarantined. We have other people like in Home Depot. You can have a business there. You can have a business in Lowe's. You can go to the liquor store. How does the virus know where to infect you and where not to infect you? Actually, in most of these businesses, they're not even counting people anymore. All they're trying to do is they're trying to keep small businesses from opening up, trying to destroy the economy in each one of these states. They don't want the economy improving because that will benefit who? Trump. But out in Florida, just like we predicted, right after the GOP convention has been canceled, what do we see happening? Well, Florida just reported the lowest single-day increase in cases of the coronavirus. Senator Rand Paul tweeted this out. Florida and New York have identical number of per capita coronavirus infections, but Florida has five times less per capita deaths. Will Dr. Fauci be praising Governor Ron DeSantis' response to the pandemic? Will he point out that New York Governor Cuomo's response allowed a fivefold greater per capita death rate? So what do we see happening right now? The death rate is falling in Florida. The number of cases is dropping dramatically right now. And Jennifer Cabrera tweeted this out. Here's my spreadsheet to track changes. And when you look at the death rates and you look at the cases, they dropped almost down to zero. Starting in July, around 25th, 27th, and as soon as the GOP convention was canceled, everything just started dropping off. And what's very interesting is that we have this Richard Citizen journalist, going around. He went to three different hospitals in Washington, D.C. The one he filmed was Shady Grove. He went into the ER. It was completely empty. And many people are doing this. They're going to the hospital and saying, okay, we're in the middle of this dangerous pandemic, but there's nobody in the hospitals. Where is everyone? And what's very interesting in Florida, where they say, ooh, the ICU and all the beds are being taken and they're filled up and everything like that. Well, you know that in Florida, a lot of people were laid off, lot of the staffers, nurses in these hospitals. So they can't go to full capacity. They only can go to like half capacity. So this is what they're basing the bed numbers on. And when you hear bed numbers, it's not just COVID. It's people that have been putting off other things. And they're in there. The whole thing is a manipulation. And you can see this is exactly what they've been doing all along. How do you think the numbers can just come right down after the GOP convention has been canceled? Actually, when we hit middle of August, it's going to be no more hot zone here. That's it. It's over. Everything's okay. Now, what's very interesting, we know that Trump has been pushing HCQ since the beginning, since March, and this was on purpose. He's setting up all these individuals. Remember the mainstream media, Fauci, and the rest saying, no, HCQ isn't good. It kills you. It's not good for the people. We had some governors that are not doctors. They were trying to ban HCQ. We had in Ohio, RX, they were saying, we are not going to allow the doctors to prescribe HCQ. Then the governor stepped in and said, no, that's the doctor's choice. But what's very interesting, they're so worried about the side effects of HCQ, which actually they've all been debunked. The drug's been around 50, 60 years. It seems that with this new vaccine that's coming out, that they want to come out, which is not going to be fully tested, because how do you fully test it? It hasn't been around very long. It's brand new. The House and Senate leaders, they're discussing whether to include this exemption for COVID-19 vaccines. So wait a minute. If people get the vaccine and it kills 5,000, 10,000, the drug manufacturer will be exempt. Wait, we have HCQ that's been around for a very long time, and the Lancet report is fake. The VA observational study was not a clinical trial, so that's debunked. And we know that this doesn't kill people. Actually, there's been many clinical trials that show it works to protect you, like a vaccine. If you get diagnosed with it, it removes it. You're cured. If you have it, it helps you. Only at the late stages, it can only help 61% of the people. So if we're in this deadly pandemic and people are dying left and right, why wouldn't we use this? Why would you just let people die? Tom Fitton tweeted this out. We are told coronavirus is a public health emergency, and yet emergency measures such as acting and on acceptable observational studies and clinical observational support for hydroxychloroquine to protect lives is forbidden. Let that sink in for a second. You know, once this is all said and done, and it's discovered that these individuals in government and the media knew that hydroxychloroquine was effective for treating COVID, and they still lied about it to the public, they're going to be charged with murder. They're going to see class action lawsuits like we've never seen before. You don't think these doctors, you don't think all these individuals in the CDC, Fauci and the rest, you don't think they knew about hydroxychloroquine? I bet you most of these individuals are taking it. Now, the CDC, the head of the CDC, he is urging schools to reopen because it is in the interest of the child for public health. And schools do need to reopen. This is what he said. I don't think I can emphasize it enough as the director for the Centers for Disease Control, the leading public health agency in the world. It is in the public health interest that these K-12 students to get the schools back open for face-to-face learning. And this is from Dr. Robert Redfield. It's time for the people to learn the truth. It's time for these individuals that have been keeping HCQ from the people by telling people to wear masks when they really don't work because there's no science to back it up. It's time for the truth to come out. It's time to be fully transparent. People are waking up. People are starting to realize what is real and what isn't real. I mean, look at the second event that is going on. We have the BLM protesters in Louisville, Kentucky. And they sent a letter to business owners there with their demands. And it says, two business owners and stakeholders in Nulu Business District. And this is the demands. Businesses will adequately represent the black population of Louisville by having a minimum of 23% black staff in front of house positions and maintain commitment and accountability to increase that number. Retail locations will include a minimum of 23% inventory of black retailers or make a recurring monthly donation of 1.5% of net sales to, and that's blank right now. Business owners will require diversity, equity, and inclusion training for their staffs to be conducted by any one of the blanks on the attached list. Training will be conducted thereafter on a biannual basis. So basically, if you don't listen to what we're saying, we're going to collect money from you. You can call it a donation. You can call it whatever you want. Isn't this what the mob does? Isn't this what the mafia does? They extort money to protect you? Well, we're going to extort money if you don't do what we say. And once again, here we are. Is this really about George Floyd? And speaking about George Floyd and Black Lives Matter and the rest, it seems that they've just released the police body cam video of George Floyd. And he was on drugs. He was resisting arrest. And you can hear Floyd's ex. She can be heard off camera shouting at him, stop resisting. All the cops are calm and professional in contrast to Floyd, who is hyper agitated and aggressively resisting the cops. But what do you think is going to happen with this? Do you think this is the setup for the next wave of riots? Why do you think Fauci has been saying maybe we should wear goggles? I do believe this was a signal. And we know that Trump, his administration, they are prepared for all of this. The storm is right behind Trump. It's following him, and it's about to hit. Take a listen to what he said.
My administration will be here for you every single step of the way. We've done everything we can do, and now we're just waiting for the storm. And I guess it's right behind me. It's following me.
Now, if you listen, he said that the storm is just waiting. It's right behind me. It's following me. Yes, I know there was a hurricane in Florida, but I do believe he's talking about the other storm. Oh, that it's here. It's right behind him. And soon, the storm is going to hit. Trump knows the playbook of the deep state. This is all being allowed to happen right now. Allowing the deep state to do what they do best. Why interfere with an enemy while they're in the process of destroying themselves? You don't think the silent majority is starting to wake up? Think about all the protests that are going on. And I'm not talking about the rioters. I'm talking about the people that are saying, save the children. The protests in Berlin, in Germany, we're saying we had enough of this COVID. We don't want to put masks on. We know they don't work. The Dutch said we're not making masks mandatory because they don't work. People are waking up every single day. Trump mentioned HCQ on purpose in March. Think about all the people that lied about it. Think about the mainstream media that lied about it, kept it from the American people. Think about the governors that banned it because they were afraid of hoarders. Think about the rioting that has been going on right now. Oh, the storm is coming. And the storm is going to hit. And you can see with everything that's coming out from Ghislaine Maxwell and everything else, everything is all coming together. And this is going to be the perfect storm. Listen, everyone, thanks a lot for listening. Be well, be safe, and especially be prepared. Thanks a lot.
Friends, thank you so very much for tuning in. It really, literally means the world to me. Can I say literally? It means very, very much to me because YouTube, guys, they're throttling the heck out of my channel. I'm not going to sit here and moan about that all day. The censorship, the shadow banning, it's happening on Twitter. It's happening on Facebook. It's happening on YouTube. It's happening on Google. We all know it. Guys, I have on two friends of Liberty, the Punisher and Severe Anon. They both have big followings on Twitter. Severe Anon has 38,000 followers, and The Punisher just broke 100,000 followers. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. First, Real Severe, how are you, man?
It's great to be back. I'm doing well. Thank you, as always, for having me, and it's an honor, man. And Punisher, congrats, man. 100,000 followers, bro. It's huge, man. Our voices are getting out there. Slowly but surely, we are breaking through the algorithms, man, and making a real impact out there in the digital realm. So definitely congratulations. But yeah, it's good to be here, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Punisher, how are you, dude?
I'm doing good, brother. I just want to say it's an absolute honor to be on your show, just to be able to talk to you. I followed you for the better part of a decade, and you've taught me so much. I just want to say, like, it's an absolute honor to be able to talk to you, and not only my brother Severe, but on the same show. So I appreciate that.
Well, you know, thank you, man. That gives me goosebumps because as we just talked real briefly before I hit record, the shadow banning and stuff that YouTube is doing to my channel now really starts to make me feel a little bit irrelevant, right? Because I have the analytics, so I know that it's not my imagination. I can see what they've done when they changed their algorithms in January of 2019. Things began to turn negatively for my channel on YouTube, and it's only gotten worse over time. While other channels do get propped up, they do get full algorithm support, one of which is Dr. Steve Turley, the other one is X22. They both do a great job. But some people are whitelisted, while others are graylisted or blacklisted. Do you guys find that to be true on Twitter as well? Because they've started to throttle down my Twitter followers as well. I no longer gain new Twitter followers, whereas just a few months ago, I was adding 10,000 new followers a month.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, hey, go ahead, Butler. So we were saying the same thing, but go ahead.
Well, it's like right when I broke 100,000 followers, like I look back and it went back to 99.9. And it stayed like for about 10 minutes. And then I went back and it was about 100K because there were so many people following me from that tweet I sent, like it went right back up. And it's the same thing across all platforms. It's complete censorship. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's weird how some people are whitelisted, though, you know? Because Dr. Stephen Turley, he talks about many of the same things I do, and you do, and others do, and he's flourishing. So I just don't get it. Although SGT Report was included on some of those lists a year or two ago, the SPLC list, the Washington Post list, the list that accused many of us of being Russian bots or Russian agents. So I definitely know I am on a list. SGT Report is on a list. And I wonder if that doesn't influence what's going on over at YouTube behind the scenes a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Being put on that list was huge, man. There were a lot of accounts, and you saw it even on Twitter, that got attacked immediately. Like, as soon as that was released, people were losing followers, their numbers were getting crazy throttled and shadow banned. It was almost automatic. So you see that how they all work in sync, how it's in tandem with each other. These things are not coincidental ever. When those reports go out, that's one of those 4 a.m. talking points. That's one of those Mockingbird Media talking points that they latch onto, and they cause destruction with that kind of stuff. And especially when you're talking about a conservative account or an account that is not afraid to really go digging for the truth and exposing these people for what they are and what they're doing. And you've been doing that. We were, speaking briefly before you started recording, but, I was touching on that earlier, and that's exactly what it is. When you are speaking against the narrative, not only speaking against it, but providing solid proof of the claims that you're making, encountering their narrative, that causes real damage. And when you have a huge following the way that you do, how many, you got to be at almost like 700,000 subs, right?
611,000 subs. Yeah,
exactly. So, I mean, those are huge numbers. And like Punisher, I've been following you forever, so I know the kind of impact that your videos used to have. And this is when you were at a quarter, a third, a half of the subs that you're at now, and you see the numbers that your videos are doing, and it's so blatantly obvious what's happening here. And I think that a big reason of why some of these other channels may be whitelisted and not gray or blacklisted is because there are a lot of people that are covering the same kind of topics. So if you're watching a channel that goes into, Q jobs and analyzing and stuff like that, and decoding. There are a lot of channels that do that. And shout out to all of them. They're all part of this war, and everybody has an impact in what they're doing. But when you see a lot of the same coverage, you know, across the platform on so many channels, I think it's a little bit easier to kind of slide through. But when you stand out and you stick out like a sore thumb with the stuff that you're reporting on and the way that you're attacking the narrative and the angles that you do it from, it makes them panic. It's obvious. You can see it in the throttling and the shadow banning of the channel.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. I'm going to just get off this topic because I think people get real bored of me complaining about shadow banning on YouTube. But I just do want to point out that, again, Dr. Stephen Turley, 360,000 subs, he puts out a video twice a day, and these things will generally get 300,000 to 500,000 views. So he exceeds his total sub count in views on just about every video, while only 15, maybe 10% of my total subs ever see what I put out anymore, which didn't used to be the case. So again, I do think it's criminal under the law. It's tortious interference. It's YouTube interfering in my ability to communicate with my subscribers. That literally is called tortious interference when one party interferes in the affairs, the business affairs of two other parties, or the communication affairs of two other parties, meaning me and my subs. Guys, I think there is a lot of good news to talk about. I do want to get your reaction on this. Let me do a screen share here. Zero Hedge via WorldNet Daily. Investigative reporter John Solomon says there's a lot of activity in U.S. Attorney John Durham's criminal investigation of the Obama administration's probe of now debunked claims of Trump-Russia collusion during the 2016 election. Quote, my sources tell me there's a lot of activity. I'm seeing personally activity behind the scenes showing the Department of Justice is trying to bring those first indictments, Solomon told Lou Dobbs. Gentlemen, there's a lot going on, not the least of which, Ghislaine Maxwell has been arrested. Your thoughts on any of what I've just mentioned? Because we've been praying for deep state arrests. We've been begging for deep state arrests for a very long time. Maybe Ghislaine Maxwell's just the tip of the iceberg. Who wants to run with that first?
I'll go with that. And I completely agree with you. Like, what a lot of people don't understand is she is basically the domino that topples over everything. Like, she has connections, and she can connect everybody that's been there, been on the plane, been on the island. She is the keystone, in my opinion. Like, she can crumble everything if she actually basically cooperates. And I think that if she did, like, I think that's why a lot of people are really sweating their you-know-what off, because Ghislaine Maxwell, like, she could bury a lot of people right now.
And all severe, they're all tied into it, all together. And what are your guys' thoughts on the theory that when all of those pics of her were released, I think it was around a year ago, maybe a little bit less, but where she was at In-N-Out Burger and all that stuff, what are your guys' thoughts on her actually being taken in at that time? And what we're seeing now is just optics for the public. Have you guys heard that?
I honestly think she was actually arrested way before now, and she's just been cooperating ever since. That's my opinion.
That's entirely possible. You know, my take on that is that she's obviously an intelligence asset of the Israeli military complex, maybe the Mossad specifically. My initial take on those pictures were it was that aspect of the deep state thumbing their nose at the Department of Justice, basically saying, catch me if you can. And I didn't think they'd catch her because I thought she was being protected in Israel. You guys will notice the mainstream media was trying to convince people that she was in France. And it turned out they caught her in New Hampshire on a massive 156-acre estate that supposedly she paid $1 million in cash for. Those numbers don't add up. So really none of this adds up. Why was she in the States? Why are they saying she bought this beautiful piece of property on 156 acres in New Hampshire for $1 million? That alone leaves me scratching my head. None of it adds up, but I'm glad she's in custody because, as I've been saying, if the White Hats didn't want her to talk, if this was all just a show, she would have been whacked. She wouldn't have been arrested.
And I think you're exactly right, Sean. And I want to add to that, it's either one of two things. Either one of two scenarios, she believes she'll never be caught, or two, like, maybe she's been working with them the whole time. And I wanted to get y'all's thoughts on that.
You mean working with the White Hats, the DOJ?
Yes. I mean, she was arrested and she was like cooperating the whole time.
Arrested at that point that I was talking about earlier with the pictures of her in public, in and out.
Well, think about it. Like, if she was on the run and she had so much to hide, why would she still be hiding in New Hampshire?
No, absolutely. Yes, exactly. And we already know about her family ties to Mossad. So if she wanted to be hidden, she'd be hidden. If she had a way to be hidden, she would be. So that tells me everything that I need to know. They knew her whereabouts. They got her when they could, and she didn't go anywhere. And that's obvious because they have her right now.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's possible. You know, to my thinking at first, I was thinking, well, she probably couldn't get out of the country given passport issues, airport lockdown issues, facial recognition, etc. Although really the truth is she could escape on a private jet very easily. So you guys are right. Maybe she has been in custody and working with these people all along. But the bottom line is she's in custody now and she holds the keys to the castle regarding Wiener's laptop and all of the sex trafficking of children. She knows what went on that island. Have you guys noticed now the mainstream media is trying to convince people that the only reason Bill Clinton ever stepped foot on Epstein Island, Little St. James, is because he was having an affair with Ghislaine, an adult?
Yes.
How preposterous. Yep,
of course. Well, they're trying to, that's what they do. They're trying to get ahead of the narrative. They already know where this is going to shift towards, what it's going to head to. And they're trying to get ahead of the narrative. So at this point, they're desperate. They will try to play that game of, you know, don't look here, look over there. They're going to do that constantly, trying to keep what the reality of the situation is out of the public eye. And you see the people, all the people shilling and trolling on Twitter talking about, oh, well, here's this picture of, you know, Trump with Epstein and this and that, and that's literally all they have. So the narrative shift, that's literally all they have when the evidence and the facts are against them.
Do you guys believe, as I do, that right now there is literally panic in D.C.? Because of what's going on with the Barr Durham investigation, people like Brennan, people like Clapper, panic in D.C. because of that reason, but also because Ghislaine Maxwell is now in custody. And we'll have to circle back for those who don't know, but I think most of our listeners do, a little place called Comet Ping Pong in Washington, D.C. People who could be exposed by the truths that Ghislaine Maxwell holds. People like John Podesta, Tony Podesta, Hillary Clinton. What was on Wiener's laptop? NYPD detectives, I think 9 of the 11 that saw video on that laptop are now dead, by the way, gentlemen. But yes. NYPD detectives saw video of children being harmed to the degree that it made grown men, grizzled NYPD vets cry. So I have to believe that there is actually panic in D.C. right now because of all that is going on.
Absolutely. And what I got to say to that is what you're seeing right now in modern day, all these false flags, all these terrorist organizations and all this stuff that's happening, it's not by accident. It's all planned. It's all a distraction. Like, you're not seeing this by accident. Like, it's literally because, okay, well, if you do this, you take away from the actual situation of what's going on in D.C. Anybody that like actually is paying attention to this can realize that. If you don't at this point, I don't know what to tell you. But all of these false flags, they're all planned. Everything is planned. And a lot of people don't understand that. Sevier, you got a word on that?
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly what it is. And we know this. You can trace, you know, false flags all the way back to every single one of these events that you see are staged. None of this stuff happens organically. This is all done ahead of time. The only difference is now we have guys on our side that know what their plans are and are ready to step ahead of them. So everything that you're watching unfold right now in real time has to be done this way. There's no other way that it can be done. When Q says that people need to see it, to understand it, to believe it, you can tell people whatever you want until you're purple in the face. It's not going to sway their opinion if they're hell-bent on having a worldview on something. But if they see it with their own eyes and they live through it and they experience it and they internalize it and then further analyze it afterwards, so like, wow, what am I really looking at? How can I be a Democrat right now when these people, these are not the Democrats that my parents were, that my grandparents were. These are a branch of, literally, it's become a weaponized arm of a very small group of people that are looking to gain ultimate power. And we know who they are. We know about Clinton. We know about Obama. We know about Clapper and Brennan, everyone that you were just talking about that is panicking in D.C. right now, and with good reason. These people committed unspeakable acts. And just in terms of what they've done politically, the crimes that they've committed that, you know, are what normies even are hearing about is bad enough. But what we know they're doing behind the scenes is a million times worse. And it has to unfold this way. You can't just splash people with all this stuff that we know in one shot. Everything I've been listening to Sean report on for, just like you, you know, better part of 10 years now. You know, we know that this has been going on for a long time. This isn't something that is just happening right now. This is something that we have taken in over a long period of time. So it's a lot easier when you go little by little by little and start to put the picture together. People that are totally blind to this, you hit them with that whole map of what we know, the research that we've done and taking the time to look into, it breaks them. And that's what we're talking about. And you have that 4 to 6% that no matter what they see, no matter what they hear, it can happen right in front of their face. They're not going to change. They're not going to break. They're going to see things the way they see them right now, a million years from now, it's just the way it is. But the rest of the people that think that they identify with, you know, the good guys, the Democrats, they are starting to see how evil and corrupt the party has become and what they actually stand for. And the silent majority is real. You're going to see when it comes time to vote, there's going to be groups of people that come out that have probably never voted that will now and say, I can't allow this to happen in my country. They can't voice it publicly because they'll lose their jobs. They'll get beaten in the streets. They'll suffer serious consequences. But when it's them and then in that voting booth and there's no one to watch them and they get to make that choice on their own, we're going to see what happens in 2020 at the end of this year. It's going to be crazy, man.
Guys, I want your opinion on something in a second. I'm going to show you a tweet that came up in my feed. But first, I want people to understand. I have posted at the Phaser and I have mentioned in recent videos and interviews a very powerful video from Bards of War called A Letter from General Flynn, Saving a Nation That Was Already Lost. An extremely important video. Bards of War is a very measured, very intelligent veteran of the armed forces. He knows what he's talking about, and he is very much a Q guy. So let me just do a screen share here and show you guys this from No More News. I have no problem with this person. I've had him on my show before. I just don't understand why people want to be so divisive about this stuff. He writes, "Have any of the QAnon believers apologized for spreading insane BS yet at SGT report?" And then, I wonder if that's Devin Stack. Philosopher Dr. Stack weighs in saying, "But wait, I thought patriots were in charge. Trust the plan where we..." See, they love to make fun of all this stuff. And I'd like to say for the record, number one, I'm not a 24/7 Q channel. Now, there are channels out there like X22, more power to them. But I just want your opinion on this, gents, because it was General Flynn, who I just mentioned in the Bards of War video, which I will link below. Everybody should watch it. General Flynn just took the oath with his family, put it on Twitter, and at the end he said, "Where we go one, we go all," which is a nod to Q. So am I insane for covering Q from time to time? I don't do it 24/7. It's not the sole focus of my channel. But I really take offense to people like No More News and Stack trying to make fun of the Q movement when so clearly there is a battle between good and evil forces on this planet, and the evil forces have never been more apparent to even the sheeple.
100%, man. 100%. Spot on.
I would love to speak on that, Sean.
Please. Yeah, please do.
Okay, first thing I can say is, okay, Sean, it was a couple weeks back, you got hammered. simply for questioning the plan, right?
Yes, I got hit hard for being on Red Pill 78 and some other channels saying, I don't blindly trust any plan, so let's talk about that. What is the current plan? Because I was very upset about the Fed printing trillions and trillions of dollars, more bailouts for the bank, nothing for the people. I think it's fair to have that conversation, but you're right, I got hammered for it.
Here's what I want to say about that is a lot of patriots need to understand the truth movement existed before the Q movement. A lot of people don't understand that. Okay, now we're all in this for the truth and to awaken others and help others waken up. That's all we're in it for. And to attack somebody, block people, call them out, you know, that's not what this is about. If you're doing that, you're not a patriot. I'm sorry. But it's, to me, it's okay to ask questions because you know what I do? I'm like you, Sean. I've learned from you that I've been questioning everything since day one. That's what I've done. It's okay to question things because you know what? When you're in the truth movement long enough, you understand that you have to question everything to actually strengthen yourself to become a better truther. And a lot of people don't get that. And I see a lot of people in this movement that they're creating cliques, and it's like, okay, well, I'm first, I'm in this clique, so if you dare to oppose my opinion or anything about Q, it's like, well, no, you're not part of the clique, so we're going to cast you out. That's not what we're here for. We're here for the truth. And I'm going to question everything like I have since day one. If Q says, yes, we have been to the moon, or yes, JFK Jr. is dead, that's fine. If that's 100% true, okay. But I'm still going to research it myself. No one is going to stop me from that. I'm going to do it, and you can't stop me. And that's what a lot of people really don't get. It's like, it's all about the truth. And when I do that, I catch a lot of slack, just like you, Sean. And I'm not saying that questioning anything is going to make you, it doesn't make you a shill. It doesn't make you a bad guy. It doesn't make you a traitor. It just means you owe yourself a diligence of seeking the truth. Now, what is it when it comes to the truth? It's called searching the truth, not being told it. You're searching the truth. You cannot be told. You have to learn. And like I said, a lot of people don't get that. Now, if Q said, okay, JFK Jr. ain't alive, or okay, fine.
That one I agree with. I don't agree with the we landed on the moon. As an aside, I actually agree with that. JFK Jr. being alive, I don't buy it. We landed on the moon. I don't buy it. So again, I don't agree with everything Q says either, you know, but the point is, here's a point I just want to make as it relates to those who criticize any of us that have followed Q. What we have been trying to say is that, yes, we understand that Zionism is one of the chief problems we face on this planet. I talk about these things constantly. I've talked about them. I've done entire videos about the Rothschilds. But what I'm not willing to do is throw out the baby with the bathwater when we finally have a president who seems to want to put the Constitution and the Bill of Rights first. He cares about the Second Amendment. He's encouraging people to go out and buy guns. Do you think the deep state wants people in this country to own guns? Guys, that's another point made in that Bards of War video, a former vet. He says, do you think for 1 minute, if this president was part of the deep state, he would encourage people to go out and buy guns? No, they'd be disarming the people. So I'm just so tired of people throwing out the baby with the bathwater. You either have to be all in on Q 100% or all out on Q 100% and only focus on Israel and Zionism. Forgive me for ranting. Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein probably have video of Ehud Barak, former prime minister of Israel. This thing goes right to the very top. So why throw this all out? Why throw out the baby with the bathwater? That's what frustrates me. And I think that's your point, Punisher.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to is, like, I just want to say real quick, like, people need to stop attacking other patriots. We're here for the truth. We're here to unite. We're not here to block each other and call each other out, like, all over social media. That's not what this movement is about. And if you're doing that, you're really not part of this movement.
I agree with both of you guys. Literally, I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, like, you're articulating all of the things that I'm already thinking. It's crazy. And what's even crazier is I talk to a lot of people, you know, through Twitter, through people interacting with me on my YouTube videos, people reaching out, you know, thanking me for what I do first off. But then we get into a discussion of that there are a lot of people out there that think the way that we do, I promise you. And they might, again, it's another silent majority inside of a silent majority, if that makes any sense to you guys. There are a lot of us that question a lot of what's going on, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's what you're supposed to do. Q, even, you know, when people want to take it to that level, even in Q posts, it says disinfo is necessary, right? So if you're being steered one way, that doesn't mean that that's the direction you're necessarily supposed to go. It means you're supposed to look into that and make your own decision. So I'm with you 100% on what you were saying, Sean. I agree. You know, the whole JFK thing, the junior, I don't buy it. But, you know, landing on the moon, him saying that we did, no, I don't agree. You know what I mean? And I'm definitely not afraid to say that. Like, there is a ton of info out there for people that want to look into it to disprove that. But that aside, you're supposed to question everything. That's what we're here for. We are here for the truth. We're not here for clicky, you know, little popular groups of people that are trying to, you know, capitalize some kind of fame off of a movement that we see beyond that. That's not what we see it for. We see it for trying to wake people up to the evils that really do exist out there and to not be in despair, because there are good people that are fighting against it actively. There are good people in positions of power that are fighting against that evil with the same vigor that it attacks us with. So we are a silent majority, absolutely. And on that second level of being a silent majority of people that are questioning a lot of what's going on and doing their due diligence and doing research and looking into it, this isn't you're not supposed to blindly believe anything that you're told. I don't care who the source is. I don't care if it's Q. I don't care if it's POTUS. I don't care. It doesn't matter. No, it is your, not only your right, but it is your duty to do your own research and look into what you're being told. That is what we are all here for. We're not here for division. We're not here for, you know, little clicky subcategories of people. Right. We are all in this together. And if you really, truly believe in what Q is bringing to the table, then you know that. You don't have to be told that. We are in it together. Division is the absolute last thing that we need right now. And when I see it happening, like, you know, I really try to play it cool across the board with everybody, because I'm just that type of person. I'm here for the movement. I'm not here for myself. I'm not here for any ulterior motive. I'm here to help my fellow patriots wake people up and turn this tide of evil against them. That's, I think I can safely say both of you guys are here for the same reason. So when you get attacked for just questioning things, that is not what this movement is supposed to be about. That damn sure is not what I see it as. And that's not the way that I conduct myself. Even if I'm bringing something to the table and someone wants to question what I'm saying, good. That's what you're supposed to do. Look into it. If I'm wrong, then you tell me how I am. But if I'm right, now you have verified it for yourself. You're not just being the sheep that's eating what you're giving. It's part of the process of why Q is incredible. And that whole part of this movement is something that has a ton of power, because you're not being told anything. It's Socratic method. If anything, they're questions that are being posed to you. Why did this happen? Why was this person in this place at this time? Think deeper into it. It goes beyond the surface. There are reasons that people are at certain places, that things happen at certain times. So it's not a cult. Cult members tell you what to do. They make you react a certain way. You have to stand in lockstep. That's not what this is. This is question everything. And when we're doing that's what we're here for.
Yeah, and we can quantify that too. So, but just real quickly, what's ironic is I post a lot from No More News on my site, thephaser.com, and I just recently posted a video. He did a great job tearing apart these Antifa people and the Black Lives Matter people that are basically shitting on the Constitution and saying, literally saying they hate America, down with America. Young people, white young females, just complete idiots that have no idea the shit show that we are in for if we lose our Bill of Rights and the Constitution and usher in Marxism, which is what the Democrats want. So it just pains me for anyone to ask me to apologize for talking about Q and calling it insane BS. I don't know how you can say everything coming from Q has been insane BS. It's just disingenuous, and I just really have a problem with it because it's infighting and it just doesn't need to happen. Because if we go back to Q post 4578, this is said, this image here you guys see, this is said to be video surveillance, video feeds from Epstein's Island. Now, I don't know how to vet that out. I don't know how to prove that that's true or untrue. Maybe one of you guys can. If that's the case, please weigh in. But the point I wanted to make is that if Epstein Island and the penthouse in Manhattan, if that whole thing with Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein is a Mossad operation to ensnare and blackmail powerful people, then I think the same thing can be said about Comet Ping Pong, James Alefantis, and what was going on there in Washington, D.C. James Alefantis, formerly the boyfriend or husband or whatever of David Brock, all linking back to the DNC, I would make the argument that that whole Comet Ping Pong thing is also an intelligence operation. So that's the point about all of this stuff. We are routing out hardcore pedophiles and deep state criminals right now, in real time. We've been doing this for the past few years. And guys, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, nobody was talking about child sex trafficking. Nobody was talking about the plague of pedophilia. I mean, very few people. We talk about Jimmy Savile and these bigger issues, the Hampstead cover-up. Absolutely. But did we realize it was systemic evil within our own country? Then Steve Scalise. Thank God Trump gets elected. Then Steve Scalise makes a PSA about the plight of child and human trafficking happening in every major city in this country. And then Trump starts to go after pedophiles. Are we not supposed to support that? Are we supposed to only spend 24 hours a day criticizing Zionism and Israel? Yes, Zionism's a problem. There's good news to talk about as well.
Oh, 1,000,000%. I absolutely agree. There's a ton of good news to talk about, and what you just touched on proves it. We weren't thinking about this stuff 7, 8 years ago. You're absolutely right. But now it is almost at the level where normies are even catching on to how huge this actually is. People that are not particularly political or, you know, into Q or into anything like that. But it's becoming such a huge thing, and it's being talked about so frequently now that it has spread wide across a very large part of the population. And that's part of the Great Awakening also, is people have to take it in at that level. They start to see things, and it becomes more clear. So that when you have the systemic issue that we're talking about, how deeply ingrained throughout the country, it is not even just the country, throughout the planet, it is the number one issue. So you can't just hit people with, yeah, everybody that you like, all your actors, all your movie stars, all your favorite music artists, all of the people that you look up to and idolize and worship are these evil people. It breaks them. So just seeing, you know, what Trump has done, and that was within, I believe that was his first executive order, no?
I think it was, yes.
It was to end this, exactly what we're talking about right now. It was about sex trafficking, human trafficking, child trafficking. He's been on it since day one because he realizes at the end of the day that's what this is all about. It's the ultimate evil that's happening right now, and that's what we're fighting against.
Well, I would just say this, too, as it relates to President Trump and the deep state. My God, if people can't understand what this president is up against, I mean, are you kidding me? He really summed it up today. Let me just read this. We have a totally corrupt previous administration, including a president and vice president who spied on my campaign and got caught, and nothing happens to them. This crime was taking place even before my election. Everyone knows it, and yet all are frozen stiff with fear. This man has had the deep state coming after him since before day one, since before he was elected. Are we not to stand with this man? Because what's the alternative? Are we supposed to stand with Joe Biden, who's obviously committed hardcore crimes in the Ukraine and probably is a pedophile himself? I just don't understand. They're asking us to choose what? To stand down? Because that's the choice. If we don't stand with this president, the choice is to stand down or vote for Biden. I'm at a loss. I really am. I just don't understand it.
Here's the thing. If we don't get Trump in a second term, we're done for. That's pretty much all there is to say about it. Because if we don't get Trump in, we're going to be in re-education camps. We're going to get slaughtered if we don't abide by the narrative of whatever they have going on at that time.
When you say re-education camps, that's not hyperbole. I mean, the Weather Underground, these people, Bill Ayers, they espoused these ideas before they ever had power. Now many of them are in power. In that Bards of War video, he makes it very clear. The plan was Hillary Clinton and cleanup, a four-year cleanup operation, because the nation had already been lost. So the video is so important because how do you save a nation that's already been lost? That's what's going on here. We and the White Hats and President Trump, Q, if you're to buy the Q stuff, the plan is to try to save the Republic, to try to save a nation that had already been lost.
And if we don't win this time, we never will.
All right. Well, I've ranted enough. It just really troubles me to see infighting and finger pointing. You know, it's as though you haven't done enough because you talk about Q, or you haven't done enough because you only talk about Q, or you haven't done enough because you don't point your finger at Israel and Zionism enough. I mean, it's like you can't please everybody all of the time. That much is clear.
No, you cannot. Let me tell you this right now. You're not going to please everybody. You got Q people out there. You got patriots. You got so many different of us, I guess, organizations, I guess you could call it. But we're all in different organizations, but we're all for the same motive. We're all towards truth. We're all towards waking people up and bringing the Great Awakening. But what a lot of these Q people don't understand, and even though I'm in the Q movement, so forgive me for saying that, is you don't attack another patriot because you have a disagreement. You don't do that. You have a comfortable conversation. You don't attack someone and block them and call them out on Twitter. That's not how you handle things. And a lot of people don't understand that. And like, I see that happening so much on Twitter. And it's like, no, that's not how things are handled. That's not what Q or POTUS wanted us to do.
Yeah, one thing I just want to touch on is what Sean was saying about how all these subdivisions, where if all your eggs are not in this one basket, then, you know, your voice doesn't count. Your opinion doesn't matter. Either you're all in on this topic or this topic or this topic. The people that really get it understand that, yeah, it's all of these topics. You don't put all your eggs in that one basket. You spread them out evenly, and you realize that all those different views, all those points of view together form the bigger picture of what we're dealing with. So is Zionism a problem? Is this a problem? Yes. Whatever people are into, whatever their niche is that a problem that they're bringing to the table? Yes, absolutely. But that does not exclude the voices that are speaking about other things simultaneously. These things don't have to be conflicting. They're not conflicting. They're all actually pieces of a puzzle that come together to put the entire picture together. So I don't understand why people don't see that for what it is. When people are dividing, I feel like it's being done purposely. That's not organically. That's not somebody not realizing, oh, just because I think this and you think that, that doesn't mean one is wrong and the other is right. You could both be right, You're just focusing on different things. And when you focus on all of those things, you know, respectively, that's when you get the big picture of what's actually going on. So I don't know why more people are not doing that. People that put out videos questioning Q, those videos need to be out there. People that put videos out there that promote Q and follow Q, those videos need to be out there. People that are all about, you know, Israel and this and that, those videos need to be out there. It's good to get all these different points of view and then form your own conclusion. That's why we're all here.
Well, yeah, because at the end of the day, people have to choose to wake up on their own. You can't wake up your friends and family any easier than I can, or your colleagues at work. They all have to choose to wake up. So whether they wake up because of BLM and Antifa burning down cities, or because they wake up because they learn about child sex trafficking and the reality of it with Jeffrey Epstein and now Ghislaine Maxwell, these are all important red pills. And at the end of the day, our job in the truth media, the alternative news media, is to red pill people so they finally wake up. And that's what's happening. We're having a great deal of success. I mean, do you think it's a coincidence that YouTube changed their algorithms to stop recommending our videos and our points of view because we were losing? No, they're panicked because we're winning. We're winning in the public, the town square, the biggest town square in the world, Google, YouTube, followed by what? Facebook, Twitter. I'm over on Parler now. I'm on BitChute. We're just trying to get the truth out because we all know, and President Trump is right, the enemy is the mainstream media. Gentlemen?
Absolutely.
They are absolutely the number one enemy. They are the portal that these people go through to become indoctrinated and hate their own country and hate their president and hate anything that stands for good. And all they promote is evil, evil, evil. It shows how powerful of a tool it is. It really is mind control on a massive scale.
Yeah, and here's the thing. We'll just round out the conversation here with just a couple more thoughts. So for me personally, the Great Awakening started with 9/11, Building 7.
Yes.
Want to talk about Zionism? Well, we can talk about who owned the World Trade Center complex. You know, who took the lease, the 100-year lease, and had the buildings insured double indemnity against acts of terror and walked away with billions of dollars? Larry Silverstein.
Larry Silverstein.
Follow the money. It's all Israel. It's many, many Jewish people involved. Does that mean all Jewish people are bad? Hell no. Does it mean there's a lot of crooked people that happen to be Jewish or hide behind that religion? Yes. Are many of them Zionists? Yes. Have I been talking about it for more than a decade? Yes. What woke me up? 9/11. World Trade Center 7. The BBC reporting about the collapse of that building 20 minutes before it collapsed. An absolute impossibility. So I've been over the target for a very long time, as you guys have, as has Adam Green and so many other people. We need to stand together and stop being divided over this crap, guys. That's the bottom line. We need to stand together as Americans, as patriots, and try to take this thing back because we are in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Well Sean, can I say something to that?
Please.
I see a lot of patriots like attacking other patriots because difference of opinion. And that's what really gets to me, is like, all I can say is just stop. Like, all of us, like, all we have to gain is just to work together to get through this. Now, the enemy, they are all working together in perfect synchronicity, and like, no one is opposing them. So we shouldn't be fighting each other because we have enough enemies as it is of our own.
Yeah, that's right. Our enemy is a well-oiled machine that has been doing a very good job gutting this economy, gutting our manufacturing, gutting the nation, gutting our schools and the education system. You know, I've mentioned the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Go read that document. You know, they call it a hoax, they call it a fake, the mainstream media does, but read it. It's exactly the plan that they've implemented over the past 100 or more years. They've gutted this country, and we now have a chance, a fighting chance, a last gasp to take this thing back. And I'm going to die on my feet trying. Gentlemen, I'll give you each the final word, and I want to thank you so much for your time.
Oh, damn straight, man. You said it perfectly just now. You know, I couldn't have said it any better myself, truly. We have enough to deal with. There's enough on our plate. We're just trying to shout out to Birds of War. That video really is incredible. If you guys haven't seen it out there, I'm sure Sean will drop the link, but very, very good video. But when you understand that we were already done for, we were already finished, this battle was over. And we have one last chance to actually reverse that tide and make it happen for us, for ourselves, for our future, for our children, our grandchildren. You realize just how special this really is. This moment in time will never be repeated. This is a very, very critical, this is the crux of the battle between good and evil. And I hope, I actually just posted about that this morning, that if people out there don't see that that's what this is, that this is spiritual, this goes beyond the realm, the physical realm, this really is next level. And if you don't see that by now, at this point in time, with everything that's happening, it's already worked on you. They've already gotten you. And you need to wake up. People need to wake up to the reality of what we're facing, what we're up against, just how little support President Trump actually has on his side from people in power that could really make things happen. This man is fighting against unimaginable odds, and he's winning. He's winning. We have to make sure that he wins again and gives us that last chance to undo what they already did behind the scenes, because it truly is now or never. And Sean, I just want to thank you for having me. It's an honor. Punisher, my brother, great to be on with you, man. We need to, make this happen again, man. I had a great time being here. Everybody out there listening, please feel free to check out my music, severanon.bandcamp.com. I just released an album about a month ago called Dark to Light, 10 brand new tracks, all MAGA Q kind of music, stuff that is made for patriots and that I hope you guys out there enjoy. So again, Sean, thank you for having me. And Punisher, let's go.
Yeah, and Sevier, by the way, send me the link to that, and I will and I'll provide a link below this video to your music, to Dark Delight, okay?
Yes, sir, absolutely. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much for your time. And Punisher, man, last word from you. Thanks for your time today.
All I got to say is, Sean, is I'm honored to be on your show. I really am. I followed you for a long time.
I'm honored to have you guys. I'm honored to have friends. Look, so many of us feel isolated. Many of us with families feel isolated. There's husbands and wives that have gotten divorced over this stuff because the husband takes a red pill and the wife won't, or vice versa. So
yes.
Finding the truth and going down the rabbit hole is very isolating. So no, the pleasure's all mine to have you, two friends, two patriots on to have this discussion with. So thank you.
Funny, because I learned about Pizzagate and 9/11 and the Illuminati and all that way before Q ever came along because of you. And I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And what I want to say to people is just stop and think. The truth movement existed before Q. I've been in this a long time. So is Sean. So is Sevier. Like, we've been in this for a while. And don't sit there and think that you can be considered a shill or a troll or a traitor just because you question something. When you question something, that just means you're basically, you're trying to find out the best interest for your country. And that's what we've done. It's not any way being a traitor or a shill. It's just, okay, well, we actually question things. And you know what? Some things may not pan out. Like, okay, well, Donald Trump, for example, he plays into CV19. And he goes along with the ventilators and all this and that. Okay, it's okay to question that. It doesn't make you a shill or a traitor. It just means you're worried about your country. It does not make you a bad person. So if you question things, you're not a bad person. You're not a shill or a traitor in any type whatsoever. And that's the point that I want to get to everybody. But other than that, Sean, I'm just honored to be on your show. Oh, my God.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Can you tell people how they can find you just anywhere, any social media that you want to shout out?
I'm on Twitter at PunishThem1776, and I also got a website. Other than that, that's about all I got so far.
Okay, Punish Dem, D-E-M, guys, not Punish Them. Yep. Punish Dem, 1776. All right, guys, thank you so much. I'll just round this out by saying, again, I have no ill will towards anybody. I just don't like that ticky-tacky kind of gotcha stuff on Twitter with people to whom you've been friendly or have had friendly relations in the past. It's just so unnecessary. And again, I will just say, if Q is nonsense and I owe an apology to anybody for anything, then I guess so does General Flynn, who just concluded his oath on Twitter with, "Where we go one, we go all." And none of us was using that phrase prior to Q. Guys, our guests have been The Punisher and Severe Anon, the new album, Dark Delight. I'll link it below. Severe, thank you so much, man.
Thank you again for having me, man. Had a great time, and thank you, everybody out there, for listening.
Yeah, thank you. And Punisher, thanks, man.
Thank you, Sean.
All right. And guys, for those who are still with us here, one of these guests said it and got it right earlier in the call. It is spiritual warfare, right? We feel alone and isolated because many of us around us don't realize it's spiritual warfare, and they don't realize that the battle between good and evil is not just in physical form on this planet. It is very much in the spiritual realm. And friends, thank you so much for tuning in. A shout out to my patrons for helping us stay in the fight for truth and real news. And guys, for real news, please visit us directly. Bypass YouTube's algorithms to find my latest three videos, always at the very top of sgtreport.com, where you will also find the real news of the day, 24/7, the antidote to corporate propaganda. God bless, guys. Bye-bye.
I assure the American public that General Flynn is ready for battle. And this is what the deep state fears.
He's one of the richest men in the world. He's given away a staggering $32 billion. But is the billionaire philanthropist George Soros at the heart of a global conspiracy?
I fear we could be looking at the biggest level of international political collusion in history.
They're called globalists.
Oh, come on.
Allegations are multiplying of secret Soros plots, orchestrating violence on the streets of America, and masterminding a hoax bomb plot to bring down the president.
The whole thing is a complete fantasy. This is the politics of the 21st century.
Initial reports of an active shooter, one down in the Tree of Life synagogue.
This is a conspiracy theory with deadly consequences.
Suspects talking about all these Jews need to die.
So how did George Soros become the arch-villain? Born in 1930 to Jewish parents in Hungary, he survived the Holocaust to become one of the richest men and one of the biggest philanthropists in the world.
George Soros, as a person who studied philosophy, he always had a hankering to do more than simply make money.
Soros's fortune has given his Open Society Foundations $1 billion a year to fund thousands of education, health, human rights, and democracy projects. Soros has pioneered a bold political approach to philanthropy, championing the rights of dissidents, migrants, and the oppressed. Starting in 1979, he focused on the former communist states. His foundations now operate in more than 120 countries around the world.
A democracy or open society only survives if it's tested. It's constantly in danger. It's constantly in danger of falling apart, and there must be some people who'll fight to preserve it.
From his New York base, he's made an incredible $44 billion through financial speculation. But he's accused of channeling his vast wealth in pursuit of a secret plan to overthrow governments, to control European politics.
Please join me in welcoming George Soros.
And to buy up the US Democratic Party, all to impose his own global vision.
So
This is where I spend hours and hours and hours a day back in here.
Jim Hoft says he created his news and opinion website to expose the wickedness of the left and correct what he claims is the biased reporting of the mainstream media.
Our audience continues to grow, and it's because they trust what we're putting out there. I would say the media was with Hillary, and there wasn't a lot of conservative outlets that were with Trump. We were.
God bless Trump and God bless America.
Go Trump, go Trump, go Trump.
Jim Hoft champions Donald Trump's message that the global elite are destroying America.
That's Obama. That's Hillary Clinton.
And the worst enemy of the United States is on top, don't you know?
It's claimed one man embodies everything that's going wrong in America.
George Soros. George Soros is the biggest, largest donator to anti-American causes.
The Gateway Pundit is determined to reveal the true George Soros.
People are so aware of his name now on the right that if you say it's Soros-funded or that it's linked to George Soros, it immediately puts up a red flag. People in middle America sure see him as a globalist, see him as an elitist.
We don't want people pouring into our country. We have no idea who they are, where they come from.
We will build a great wall along the southern border.
There's one issue above all that's enraged the right. They claim George Soros wants open borders and has a secret plan to flood the country with migrants. In autumn 2018, thousands of migrants left Honduras bound for the USA. It was just a month before the crucial midterm elections that threatened to derail Trump's presidency. Immediately, the so-called migrant caravan was blamed on George Soros.
Do you think somebody's funding a caravan? Do you think anybody's paying for a caravan?
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. I wouldn't be
George
surprised.
Soros?
I wouldn't. I don't know who, but I wouldn't be surprised. A lot of people say yes.
We don't fund caravans. We do fund policy change. We do look for ways to solve the crisis over migration. But that does not include the funding of caravans. Those are preposterous allegations made up by politicians and others who want to fuel hatred and fear.
The migrant caravan was filmed throughout its entire journey. Local charities were seen helping the migrants. There's no evidence of Soros funding at any point. 2 weeks before the midterm elections, with the political temperature rising, news came through of mail bombs being sent to leading Democrats. The first bomb was sent to George Soros's home. Others were sent to former President Obama and Hillary Clinton. None of the devices detonated. The suspicion? Fake bombs designed to help the Democrats' election chances.
There was something wrong with these bombs. It appeared that these were bombs that would never explode because they just weren't constructed in the correct way.
President Trump seemed to agree, tweeting this bomb stuff was damaging the Republican election campaign. The FBI traced the bomber to a car park in Florida. They impounded his white van. It looked too good to be true, covered in pro-Trump stickers. On the internet, George Soros was accused of orchestrating everything.
The guy who had all the slapped all the crazy stickers on his van. I'm not going to get into any conspiracy, but it is interesting that this guy built all these, it looks like, in the back of a van. So he was a pretty busy guy in his van.
So was George Soros the mastermind of a mail bomb plot to derail the Republican election campaign? Was the white van and its right-wing stickers a setup?
Every morning I would walk my dog down the sidewalk. This white van, I saw this white van for about 2 years, almost every day. It was covered with stickers, right-wing crackpot messages, conspiratorial stuff. One day when I was walking by, I I just decided to take a picture.
Months later, David watched reports of the mail bomber's arrest.
I looked at the photos I had taken a year ago, and boom, there were some new stickers, but it was the van. When I posted the photos, I probably got more retweets than I ever had in my life. And then almost immediately on the heels of that, I started getting crazy conspiracy stuff. Somebody making accusations of that I had faked when I took the photos.
Using the data on the photos, David Sipkin was able to prove he took them the previous year. The mail bomber turned out to be a 56-year-old Florida man called Cesar Sayoc. The final proof that there was no hoax is the former bodybuilder's plea of guilty to 65 counts, including intent to kill or injure with explosives.
You at the time said, you know, it was a total hoax.
We're saying that these bombs, there was something wrong with these bombs, and that they weren't, they were a hoax in the fact that they weren't potentially dangerous as they were being reported.
Sayoc's social media revealed he hated the migrant caravan. On the day the pipe bomb was discovered at George Soros's house, Sayoc reposted a meme that the world is waking up to the horrors of George Soros.
The complainant says they have an active shooter in the building. A second call says they are being attacked.
We're under fire. He's got an automatic weapon. He's firing out of the front of the synagogue.
11 days after the first conspiracy theory surfaced about the migrant caravan, a white male, armed with an assault rifle and three handguns, walked into a synagogue in Pittsburgh.
At least one caller sounded like they may have been shot. Several calls of persons sheltering in place within the structure.
The gunman murdered 11 Jews. It was the worst act of anti-Semitic violence in American history.
Suspect's talking about all these Jews need to die.
That's the suspect. Keeps telling about killing Jews. He doesn't want any of them to live.
The gunman Robert Bauer's social media soon revealed his motivation for murder. He believed in a dark anti-Semitic conspiracy theory with George Soros as the mastermind.
We collected some quotes from the Bowers case, from the Pittsburgh shooter, to see how he was referring to George Soros. And he says that the gun controls pushed by Jews, open border pushed by Jews, Soros, the Jew that funds white genocide and controls the press. The person who is funding this white genocide that he's killing people for, the guy who's really behind it, is George Soros.
Joel has now received open society funding to investigate what he believes is a growing threat.
White supremacy has gone from being a background phenomena to a rally that's going on these web platforms with hundreds of thousands of people, 24/7, nonstop, and internationally.
Jews will not replace us!
Their chants of Jews will not replace us refer to a widespread conspiracy theory of white genocide.
Not replace us. The myth of white genocide. I'd never heard of it before I started studying these communities. Basically, the idea that the white race is falling into decay, that it's no longer breeding, and that everywhere the white race exists, it's being replaced by immigrants, and that ultimately displaces white people entirely and eliminates them from the planet.
And for white supremacists, Soros is the Jewish mastermind pulling the strings.
George Soros, for these communities, is the devil incarnate. And all of the memes point to a supernatural evil in a human being.
Across Europe, the Soros conspiracy theories are spreading. In Italy, he's now accused of funding rescue ships in the Mediterranean, whose real purpose is to smuggle migrants to Europe. Italy's former Deputy Prime Minister, Matteo Salvini, is a fierce critic. Salvini said, Soros wants to fill Italy and Europe with migrants. He would like Italy to become a giant refugee camp because he likes slaves.
The allegation is false. The allegation is false. Neither George Soros nor the Open Society Foundations are proponents of open borders. I'm shocked that a country like Italy will have a deputy prime minister eliciting such vile and base rhetoric. It's tragic, but it's not only Salvini.
George Soros has made no secret of his views on Brexit, publicly contributing more than $2 million to the Remain campaign. Now, talk of a secret Soros plot is spreading to the UK.
George Soros recently gave Open Society $18 billion. And his influence here and in Brussels is truly extraordinary. I fear we could be looking at the biggest level of international political collusion in history.
The George Soros conspiracy, this is like probably the most successful political product of our time. You know, it helped President Trump, it helped Brexit, it's being used all over Europe, it's being used from Kenya to Colombia, George Soros everywhere. It's like a globalized, perfect enemy for the new right movement.
It terrifies me that this kind of rhetoric, which used to be heard in beer halls and dark corners, is being spoken by politicians, by leaders of country, the deputy prime minister of Italy, the prime minister of Hungary, that this kind of language is being used is shocking.